Hello there. We're continuing our lesson series this morning. Thank you, Chris, for reading for us this morning. Thank you, Mike, for leading the songs and especially for staying conscious. That was one of the most terrifying things that's ever happened in my life. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate having a song leader stay awake before we begin this morning. As we get into our discussion today, I don't know how you guys feel about conversations. I don't know if you're an extroverted person, an introverted person. I know we're in a very diverse group of people this morning. I like to talk. If you don't know me all that well, you probably haven't had an experience where I've caught you in a corner and kept you in a conversation for 2.5 hours longer than you intended to be in that conversation. I enjoy talking to people, even though I despise answering the phone. Generally, if I get a phone call, I will end up staying on there much, much longer than I intend to. But have you ever had a conversation, whether you like to talk to people or not, have you ever had a conversation where you immediately knew I said the wrong thing? Where you immediately regretted the words that came out of your mouth? Because I have. I'll go ahead and tell you, when I was a little kid, the number of times my mom told me, your big mouth is going to get you in trouble someday. And little did I know that someday was almost every day as a child. But there's one that specifically sticks out in my mind because I really thought that I was very clever with the way I had worded everything. And so you guys tell me if you see what's wrong in this sentence. I was about 15 or 16 years old. Naturally, I knew a lot more then than I do now. I was the smartest person that I knew. And I thought that I was doing something right. I thought I was in the right. I can't remember the specifics of the situation, but I remember I was in a lot of trouble for something. Most likely acting like an idiot around a lot of people. That's my general thing, and certainly was when I was 15, 16 years old. And I remember going home that night and getting a talking to. Some of you have had those before. Some of you have had those recently. That conversation where your parents sit down and they tell you how disappointed they were in the way that you acted. And I just vividly remember thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. This isn't my fault. I haven't actually done anything that you guys should be disappointed in me for. And so I remember my dad saying to me, you really embarrassed us tonight. And I thought that I was carefully choosing my words when I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Some of you, that it made a bit more of an impact when I said that. Some faces, you guys realized that was not the right thing to say. For the next week in my room, I realized, that probably wasn't the right thing to say. Have you ever been in those moments where you just immediately regret? Oh, no, that was not the right thing. As we become older, as we become, more mature, sometimes we think that that's going to go away, but it doesn't stop. I teach classes over at Faulkner, and on a daily basis in those classes, I say something where I think that was not right. That was dumb. Stop talking. And yet, once the words come out of your mouth, they just kind of float away, and you just kind of watch them, and you want to grab for them and be like, hang on. Come back, please, stop. But they just keep going, and there's no way to get them back. You've been in those situations, whether you are a talker or not. There has been a moment where you've been in a conversation where you have said something that you regretted. And whether it be the wrong words, whether it be something that's insensitive, whether it be something that you went into that conversation knowing, okay, I'm not going to tell this person this, and then I do anyway. We've all had moments like that with our conversations. But sometimes we've had the opposite happen. Sometimes we've had some really good things happen with the words that we've said, haven't we? Sometimes we've been there at just the right moment when somebody needed to hear from our perspective, and we were able to offer some advice from a biblical background that helped them through a moment when they needed us the most. Have you been in one of those situations? The power of the words that you say in those moments is astounding. And when you realize the power that you have to be able to change how someone feels, the power that you have to be able to affect somebody else's life. That's the idea I want to start off with this morning, is that our words, the things that we say, have the power to change lives completely. When we're having a conversation with somebody who is in some of the worst times of their lives, maybe they've lost someone close to them, maybe they've lost a job, maybe they're going through something horrible, we have the power to be able to change how somebody feels, for better or for worse, with the way that we speak to them and with the things that we say. We also have the power to change somebody's conception of ourselves. When we have conversations with people that are overly positive and we're able to help them and we're able to advance them in some way, they leave that conversation with us having a better opinion of us than they did before. But we absolutely can do the opposite as well. We can have a conversation with someone and maybe we don't intend to, maybe there's something in there that we didn't actually intend to say. It's one of those things that we regretted immediately, but that person leaves the conversation thinking less of us because of what we said and how we said it. Maybe an even more difficult thought is the idea that our words and our conversations have the power to change somebody's perception of another person. See, how we talk about the other people who are in our lives, how we talk about the people who are not around us, can affect what somebody else thinks about them. I'll be honest, this is one of the things that I struggle with the most on both sides of this issue. Making sure that when I talk about somebody, I'm talking about them in a manner that I would say in front of them, things that I would talk about in front of them, but also when I hear somebody talking negatively or even positively about somebody else, not letting that affect how I feel about that person. That's a very difficult thing to do because you hear, oh, well, such and such person said this. This person did that the other day. You know them. And all of a sudden, the next time you see them, that's still kind of lagging in your mind just a little bit. You still kind of feel that same thing. Words have the power to stick with our listeners forever. You see, that's the thing. There are moments where we can forgive each other. There are moments that we regret that we can't take back. And even though we might be forgiven, there's going to be something that sticks with that person because of what we said in a positive or negative light. As we've been thinking about the book of Proverbs over the last few weeks, Proverbs, the idea in Proverbs is to give us some things that are generally true. And as Proverbs gives us these general truths, it's going to give us a goal. Throughout the book of Proverbs, the goal is to develop our character, to develop us into someone who's going to make the right decisions, to develop us into someone who looks like the positive traits that we find within the book of Proverbs. And as we look through the book of Proverbs and what Proverbs tells us about our words, Proverbs is going to demonstrate how the words have the power to do whatever we want them to do. Words are one of the most powerful tools that we can use for good or for bad. I took a few minutes just to categorize a few of the things that Proverbs says in a negative light and in a positive light about our words and the things that we say. When we read from Proverbs 11, beginning in verse 9, he says, "With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. Blessed by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. By the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down." We can absolutely destroy our neighbors, our friends, our family with the words that we say. Whether we're speaking to that person directly or whether we're speaking about that person, we can tear them down in such a way that they can't be built back up in the eyes of the people who are around us. Because our words have the power to destroy those people who are in our lives. Dropping down a little into Proverbs 11 and verse 13, it says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." When we think about sermons about our words and sermons about the things that we say, this is the number one thing, right? This is the number one thing that we all deal with. going out and telling stories. And we like that, don't we? We like to tell stories. We are naturally people who latch on to a good story. The problem with that becomes when we're telling a story to tear somebody else down. Hey, look, this is a secret about this other person. They don't really want you to know what they did the other night, but it's so good. It's such a good story. You know, bless their hearts, excuse them, you know, think about somebody else, but you got to hear about what this person did. We carry those stories along and we continue to tear down other people. This is another harsh one as I was looking through some of these Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Have you ever brought up old wounds in a conversation with somebody? Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, maybe somebody did say something that they regretted immediately, and you said you forgave them and you left it in the past, but the next time you come to a head with them, the next time you've got some kind of argument or disagreement with them, well, you remember that time you said this? You remember that time you did this to me? We bring up these old wounds to cut other people with the intention of tearing people down. The Proverbs writer says, that will separate the closest of friends, bringing up these old wounds. In Proverbs 26 and verse 22, it says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. I like this passage because I think it's so striking. When we hear these negative words from people, or when we say these negative words, they taste good. You know, it seems like something that we're going to enjoy in that moment. And then they go down and they stay inside people forever. They're ingrained in people forever. So like we said a minute ago, when they see you again, whether or not they realize that they've got that historical background of something that you said before, and that's now affecting how they view you, or that's now affecting how they view who you talked about. Our words stay with people. They're powerful. They're important. But on the flip side of that, I think a lot of times when we talk about words, when we have sermons about the words that we say, we often bring up these negative things, and we should, because the Bible brings them up. But there's some very positive things that come from the things that we say. When we read in Proverbs 10 and verse 11, he says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. We have the opportunity to give life to people with the things that we say. And there is no greater example of that than the people who are here in this church this morning. We know the gospel of Christ. We know what it's like to be outside of the church. We know what it's like to be on the other side of the kingdom. Now that we're in the kingdom, now that we're in the church, we have been blessed with the words of life. And those people who are righteous, those people who are following God, those people who are in his kingdom, have the words that can change people, have the words that can affect people. We already mentioned a minute ago in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. There's some times where people are going through horrible, terrible, awful, no good, very bad days. In just a couple of minutes from us, just a couple of words that we say can lift their spirits for the rest of that day. It can change their entire attitude. It can change their entire week simply because we took the time to say something positive to them. We took the time to control our words and make sure that we were saying good and righteous things. Talking about arguments in Proverbs 15, beginning in verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. This passage goes both ways in a positive and negative light. When we're in arguments with people, and we're going to be in arguments with people, we're human beings, right? We have disagreements. When we're in those arguments with people, we can choose to put more gas on the fire. We can choose to continue to be angry. We can choose to use the kind of words that are going to incite other people. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I love to do that. I love to incite people further. If I can see that I'm in an argument with somebody and I'm getting under their skin with something, you better believe I'm going to poke those holes. You better believe I'm going to push that a little bit further. But the Proverbs writer says, you're not going to get somebody to agree with you, right? You're never going to be able to leave that argument with some kind of agreement. You're going to leave that argument feeling more angry than you did before. It's the gentle word that can stop the argument. It's the gentle word that can make somebody say, you know what? Let me start thinking about your point of view. Let me start thinking about what you're saying. Those are the kind of words that can change lives. In Proverbs 16, beginning in verse 23. Well, I wrote down the wrong verse, so you guys are going to have to excuse me. When we get to Proverbs 16 and verse 23, what we're going to find is that our words can also bring healing to people who need it. This, of course, is just a tiny bit different than lifting people's spirits. When we get to Proverbs 16 and verse 23, he says, "The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Folks, the things that we say have the power to change the lives of people, because they are either influenced by our desire to be righteous and be like God, or they are influenced by our desire to be like the world and be foolish. When we lose control of our words, when we go the more negative route, we have the power to turn somebody away from the church forever. We have the power to turn somebody away from us forever because we said something that we are going to regret. But in the same way, God has given us the ability, he's given us the power, and he's given us the knowledge and the words to say to be able to affect someone, not just here on this earth, but eternally. To be able to change their lives in such a way that they hear the gospel of Christ and they say, you know what, I want a piece of that. The problem with most of us, myself included, is that we often try to live right down the middle. We often try to live in a way where we temper our words when we know we need to. We temper our words when we're around certain people. You know, I'll be in control of my words when the elders are around because they don't need to hear some of the things that I say. But once they're gone, I can say whatever I want. Or maybe if my parents are here, there are certain things that I won't say because I'm in control of myself in front of them. But once they're gone, I don't have to worry about that anymore. We try to live right down the middle, and that's where we come into that passage we read this morning. Such a familiar passage in James chapter 3. Spend a little bit of time with me there as we read it. He says in verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." Right off the bat, look, if you don't have a problem with what we're talking about today, James says, let me talk to you because you got something that I don't know about. You're perfect. If you don't have a problem in some way with the way that your words come out of your mouth, we need to have a conversation about perfection because you seem to have it. He says, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. It sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, of creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. James says you can't ride the middle on this kind of thing. You can't come out one day and be talking smack about somebody. You can't come out someday and be gossiping. You can't come out someday and be telling stories and then come to church on Sunday and praise God. So those two things don't mix. You can't put poison in water, he says. You got to extract all of that out. And all of it comes from where? All of it comes from the heart. When we think about Jesus dealing with the Pharisees and what the Pharisees were doing and how hypocritical they were. Every time Jesus comes across the Pharisees, he's going to call them out for their hypocrisy. He's going to call them out for saying things that they're not actually doing, for requiring people to do things that they're not doing, for saying way too many things. And every time he calls them out for their hypocrisy, and every time he points back to this, turn to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, where he deals with them, and he talks to them about their worship. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They come to church on Sundays. They praise me. They sing the songs. They pay attention during the prayers. They even take notes during the sermon. But they go out the rest of the week and use their words in a negative manner. He says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And Jesus called the crowd to them and he said, "Hear and understand. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles a man." So his disciples come and they say, "Look, the Pharisees were offended by this. You're calling them out for the things they're saying. You're calling them out for being separated from God because they're different outside of their worship service." Jesus says, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. They are blind guides of the blind. Leave them alone. If a blind man guides a blind man, they will both fall into a pit." Peter says, "Hang on. Explain that one to us, Jesus." Jesus says, "Don't you understand? Everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Those things defile a man. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man." That was their whole issue. They were calling out Jesus' disciples for not washing their hands before they came to dinner. And Jesus says, "Look, the things that they say betray what's in their heart. We know what's going on in there." Jesus says, when we look at the people who are in our lives, we know what's going on in their heart based on the words that they say. When Jesus gives a sermon on the plain in Luke chapter 6, he says, "Every tree is known by its fruit," in verse 44. "Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. The evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Pause there for just a moment. His mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. What am I filling my heart with? When we're outside of these walls, when we're not here to worship God, when we're not here for Bible study, what am I filling my heart with? What are we listening to? What are we watching? What about the people who are around us in our lives? Who do we associate with? What about the places that I go? Are there things there that are filling my heart that are coming out in the things that I say? Jesus says that if we let those evil things fill our heart, evil things are going to come out. Evil words are coming. Those situations that we regret, those moments where we know I've said something I shouldn't, they're going to come if we fill ourselves up with evil thoughts. But if we continue to fill ourselves up with good things, if we continue to pour into ourselves with things of God, things that are righteous, things that are of or produce the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about, then our conversations, our words become things that change people's lives for the better. So I had a couple of thoughts about this, just some questions as we're thinking this morning. And these were some introspective questions for myself, and I thought I'd share them with you. Number one, how often do I use my words to confess my faith in Jesus. You know, we often think about confession as the thing that we do just before we're baptized. We get in the water and we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're dunked and that's it. But confession is a daily thing. It's something that we do in our actions, but it's also something that should come out in our words. If our hearts are so full of Jesus, if our hearts are so full of following Him, then the things that we talk about should be about Jesus. I think about in Acts chapter 4, where they're told to stop talking about Jesus. Peter and John say what in verse 20? We cannot stop talking about the things that we have seen and heard. We know the gospel of Christ. We can't shut up about it. We've got to continue to let people know. The words that come out of our mouths should be affected by what's in our hearts, and our hearts should be filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How often do I use my words to confess my faith in that? Additionally, how often do my words cause someone to come to faith in Jesus Christ? I think about the Apostle Paul when he talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he talks about how we, as God's new creation, are the ambassadors for God here on this earth, as though God were speaking through us. When people look at Christians, when people look at you and when they look at me, they should see and they should hear the words that come from God. And so, based on what Paul says, as though God were speaking through us, what do those people think of God based on what I have said? You see, because the more negative we are, the more we are on that bad side of the words coming out of our mouths, that's going to affect how people see God. As though God were speaking through us, Paul says our job as ambassadors for Christ is to call people to repentance. On the flip side of that, how many people have turned away from faith because of things that I've said? Whether it be in private conversations, whether it be in something that they've heard me say about somebody else. How many people have been turned away from these doors because of my words? And that leads to this last one. This one probably struck me the hardest. How many people are unwilling to confess their struggles out of fear of what I might say about them? That's a hard question. All our relationships are between us and God. Yes, they're individual relationships, but they're still affected by the people who are around us. And if I'm talking about somebody else's sin, if I'm talking about them in a way that's derogatory, if I'm talking about them in a way that's negative, and somebody else who's struggling overhears that, they're not going to want to talk to me about their problems. They're not going to want to talk to people in the church about what's going on in their lives and how do I get better from this, because they heard me gossiping and talking slander about somebody else. Folks, every word that we say affects people in some way. Every word that we say has the power to change lives. And folks, there are people who are struggling. There are people who need Jesus Christ that either will come to Christ because of something that you say or will hold their struggles back because of something that you say. There are a lot of other reasons too, I'm sure. But the things that we say absolutely have an effect on that. And that leads us into this last thought from Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good. The evil man brings out his evil treasure, what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If there is a theme that I found as I was looking through the passages in Proverbs about talking, there were negative passages, there were positive passages, but if there was a theme that came through all of that, it would be this. If you want to be wise with your words, be in control. Be in control of your words. Because Jesus says if you're careless with your words, you're going to be judged for that. You're going to be judged for every word that comes out of your mouth. So what are you doing with them? Are you in control of them, or are you letting them control you? In James, before he gets into that discussion of the tongue in James chapter 3, he says, of course, in verse 19 of chapter 1, "This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." A very famous passage, one that we're very familiar with. And as I was reading through James preparing this lesson, there was another one that stuck out to me that I'd never really noticed before. Verse 26, he says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious, yet does not control his tongue, but deceives his heart, that man's religion is worthless." If we want to be right in God's sight, if we want to do the things that God wants us to do, one of the biggest things that we can change in our lives is controlling the words that come out of our mouths. Paul's going to say in Colossians chapter 4 that we are to speak in a way that is seasoned with grace. We are to speak in a way that God would approve of. And when we speak in that way, what's going to happen? We're going to look different from the world around us. We're going to look like people that look like salt and light, people that look like Jesus. And as ambassadors for God, as though God were speaking through us, people are going to be able to look at us when we're in control of our words and say, "You know what? You've got a message from God. I need to hear what you have to say." The words that we say have the power to change lives. And one of the most important things you could possibly say in your life is, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We have an opportunity this morning for you to make that confession. We have an opportunity this morning for you to become a Christian, for you to repent of your old sins, to make that confession and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Coming up out of that water with the ability to know that you are on the side of God, and to know that God is there to help you and walk with you as you fight this battle, because this is a battle we all fight every day, controlling our words. Maybe this morning you are a Christian, but you've been having some struggles in this battle. You've been riding that fence down the middle. Our words will either condemn or justify us. If your words up to this point have been condemning you, God will still let them justify you if you come and use your words to confess those sins and ask for the help of the church. If you need anything this morning, won't you come now as we stand and sing?
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done to an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your love. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done to an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood.
And now our closing prayer.